Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts now and always be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent. Lent is a period of reflection and preparation. During Lent, the Church observes some disciplines. As you can see, the church is not decorated with flowers. The altar frontals and the clergy are dressed in purple. The color purple symbolizes the royalty of Christ. In Luke chapter 3, we read about Jesus' baptism, and now he's preparing to take on the ministry God has for him. Many Christian traditions follow these 40 days of Lent, either by fasting or doing charitable work. Back in my home country in southern India, each Ash Wednesday service, every family receives a piggy bank made from clay. This tradition has been practiced for many centuries in the Anglican churches in southern India. For the next 40 days, every Christian family gives up eating meat and puts the cost of the meat into the clay jar. On Easter Sunday, each family brings their piggy bank to the church. And at the end of the service, the clay jars are smashed and the money collected goes to supporting the poor, the homeless, and charities who can't afford to buy food. We deprive ourselves of the food that we most enjoy, and in doing so, think of others and share with them. In our gospel reading today, Jesus shows as an example that he fasted 40 days in the wilderness. We see the temptation incident reinforces Jesus' relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit, as we read in Luke chapter 1:35. And at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. In today's reading, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, which suggests that he was not driven by any external power, but he was anointed by the Spirit and was led by the Spirit. And by the same Holy Spirit, Jesus will drive out demons and heal the sick later in his earthly ministry. Jesus is completely guided under divine authority into this wilderness experience, and his loyalty is being put to the test. The first temptation raises a question of God's provision and care. The devil wants to raise a doubt about Jesus' sonship. The devil verifies the sonship by asking Jesus in verse 3 and 4, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread." The devil knows that Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and he is trying to manipulate Jesus to use his power. For taking such action, Jesus meant a lack of faith in God's goodness. Jesus is not concerned about his physical hunger, but his priority is his relationship with God and his will. Jesus' reply to the devil comes from Deuteronomy 8:3. One does not live by bread alone. In fact, one's well-being is not defined by being well-fed. As much as food is necessary, the next line in Deuteronomy 8:3b says, "Living by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." Bread only gives sustenance, but does not guarantee life. But those who trust and live by his words, life is a gift from God. The second temptation brings an invitation to worship the devil. It challenges the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." from Exodus 23. The devil now takes Jesus to a visionary tour of the kingdoms of the earth and says in verse 6 and 7, "To you I will give their glory and all its authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." The devil is tempting Jesus to avoid the sufferings of the cross, which Jesus came specifically to endure. He's offering Jesus to get quick power by denouncing the will of God. Even though the devil might think has all authority, he really cannot grant this wish. Jesus does not argue with the devil as to who owns the world, because he knows ultimately he would redeem the world by giving up his life on the cross. Jesus' reply rejects the devil's request by saying, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him," which echoes from Deuteronomy 6:13. Jesus is very clear here that God deserves the service. When we show true service to God, that means we remain aligned with God. The third temptation is also a visionary experience. Jesus is taken to the temple in Jerusalem and is placed on the highest point of the temple and is urged to jump, and the devil now quotes a verse from Psalm 91:11-12. "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." The devil is testing Jesus' faithfulness to God and making Jesus to think whether God is going to take care of him in his ministry. So Jesus rejects his temptation, as he had in the other two occasions, by appealing with yet again a verse from Deuteronomy 6:16, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." It is not good to test God's goodness or manipulate God for personal purposes. The people of Israel in their wilderness for 40 years tested God by grumbling and complaining, and in the end only two members, Joshua and Caleb, were the only two from the initial crew were able to enter the promised land. I remember an incident when I was getting my student visa sorted years ago. I needed to show some funds that I could support myself to the immigration department, but didn't have quite enough. A co-worker asked me to go and get some help from the manager, but I knew he wasn't going to help me because he was a hard-hearted man. I still went and asked him, and he responded, "You should go home right away and pack your bag and get ready to be sent back to your home country." I was taken back by his cruel reply. I said to him, "The God I trust is the true God and is the living God, as Daniel 10:10 says. God will surely help me, and I will come and see you in a couple of days." And I rushed out. I have no idea where I got the courage from, but I firmly believed in God and his words. Likewise, I got my visa in a couple of days. How my funds were met is a big miracle, which I will share a story another time. But God's word gave me hope and strength to tackle the doubt that the devil was about to test me. In today's gospel story, Jesus turned down all of the devil's temptations and followed God down the hard road of his ministry. So must we be prepared to walk by trusting God, even when the outcome is not clear. In the face of starvation, Jesus demonstrated fortitude and steadfastness, the source of which was his unyielding faith in God. Even if we have doubts in the power of the Spirit, Jesus, as Son of God, has demonstrated that we can indeed overcome weakness and temptation. During the season of Lent, let us all reflect on our strengths and weaknesses, and the areas of our lives that need the most improvement, whether it could be in our prayers, in our giving, spiritual discipline, reading scriptures, meditating, or forgiving. I would encourage us all to take faith and hope in the strength shown to us by the one made into flesh, if Jesus is truly our ultimate role model. Wherever he leads, we can be sure that it is safe to follow him. Amen.